slow. And welcome to Meet the Expert number 11. I'm Jenny, and today I have with me Ryan, which is the expert, and Eric. We are going to talk about GDPR. And Ryan has been visiting us this week, and we had some good discussions around GDPR, and we really like to share it with all of you. So, Ryan, can you give us an introduction to GDPR?
Sure. So GDPR, it stands for General Data Protection Regulation. It applies to the EU, and it's something that's coming into force to take. It takes over a previous directive that's been around privacy for many, many years. It's called 9546EC, in case you want to look that up. It's a regulation that's been around for a long time, and it's getting quite dated. And so the EU's been looking at getting something to do two things, really, to strengthen privacy, personal data privacy protection around that, and then to harmonize the rules around it. What's been happening over the most recent years is the lack of harmonization of the rules really stops the flow of data, and it's impeding business from working in the cloud, for example. So it's a big topic. It's coming into effect May 25th, 2018. So there's no member state approval that needs to happen. It's just May 25th, 2018. So May 25th, 2016, they ratified it and said, okay, you've got 2 years. And so we basically have 1 year left, and it will be in effect.
And that will be hard to reach, right?
It depends. One of the things on it is that everybody looks at this as a brand new thing, a big scary thing, and it's not. A lot of countries have some very good regulations in place, so it's really taking those and saying, okay, let's not do them differently in every country.
It's actually pretty strict already around how you deal with private data.
Because countries already have some sort of laws around.
They have lots of laws, exactly. The difference is just to get them to a level playing field so that you don't... I go to France and it may be different than Germany, that may be different. Spain, so to get them the same so you don't have to worry about where you are, who you're dealing with.
So you mentioned personal data and the right to privacy, right? So what is personal data?
So personal data, the definition is in the GDPR regulation. It's quite a long-winded one, but it's really, I'll read part of it at least. It's any information relating to an identified or identifiable natural person. So the first part of that is really key. It's any information. So it's anything that you can identify you as a person, you specifically. They've kind of expanded that definition's been there for a long time. They've expanded it to modern things like genetics and your social identity. Social things didn't exist.
Your picture,
your DNA, your fingerprints, all of that kind of thing. Those are personal.
So
personal
also
data.
My fingerprints is my personal.
Absolutely.
Because as a Unit 4 employee, I have like timesheets. I'm into my timesheet. I have payroll. I have contact information with my card or bank account number. Is this also my personal data?
That's your personal data. Some of it. It's hard to say exactly whether something is and isn't personal data. It depends. It may on the surface seem like it's not personal data, that it's not something that identifies you, but if you can combine it with other data sets, so if I can take something that looks like it's not personal data but combine it with a couple of other data sets, then it becomes personal data. It's not personal data if I can find that information about you publicly. So if you've got a blog site that you put a bunch of personal information that you've decided to put out there, it's publicly available on the internet, that's not personal data anymore.
So then I start kind of consent that.
Exactly.
Yeah, you put it out there.
I put it out there, so it's my consent to that. Okay, one thing around this is that if I want to remove that data, I should be able to remove it, right?
There's some key changes that have happened. Is we've already talked about the scope of increase on your personal data, that the definition of personal data has gotten a little larger.
Yeah.
An important thing before we get to the access and rights that you have as a person, as a data subject, the scope has increased on twofold. The scope applies to both processors of personal data and controllers of data. So in the past, it's been very clear that controllers of data, so Unifor as a company that's holding your personal data, is a controller.
Okay.
They've always been
the data owner,
the
keeper, or
the controllers, exactly. Yeah. The people that decide, are we going to keep your data or not? What are we going to do with it? They're the controllers of it.
So basically, a customer of Unifor that is using our software to keep personal identifiable information, they are a controller.
They are the controllers, correct. And then Unifor offering a SaaS service, or any company offering a SaaS service, is a processor. And now both of those are in scope. So the processor part of it is a big change in scope. So they're directly in the scope of this GDPR regulation.
Mm.
So that's a big change.
Yeah, okay. So
it makes sense though, because Unifor then owns the physical sort of infrastructure that things are stored on, right?
Right?
So they own the database sort of
itself,
right?
Yeah. So as a SaaS provider, we don't decide what data gets in there.
Mm.
But once it's there, we're the ones that control access to it. We're the ones that have to secure it and keep it private. So GDPR is a very sensible thing. It's had a lot of thought.
Another question, because I guess it will be a lot of things to do and things to think, especially since you said us being a SaaS provider, suddenly we need to think a bit differently. But what will be the impact if we don't follow GDPR?
So any company, so as a controller or a processor, what's really getting people's attention is the consequences or the penalties. There's a minimum of 20 million euros or 4% of your top line global revenue. So it's getting it's getting the attention of the C-levels. So there's two tiers. So that's the most substantial one. So for things like breach, for things that are pretty obvious that you've not come up and met GDPR. But there's another lower tier. When I say lower, it's still a minimum of 10 million or 2% of your global top line revenue. That's if you're doing things that you haven't implemented GDPR yet, if you're just kind of ignoring it. So you haven't had a breach, you haven't had anything really go wrong, you can still hit pretty major fines.
Yeah, you don't survive an audit or something like that.
So there hasn't been an issue yet, you can still have a fine. So the scope of the penalties are pretty broad.
Mm.
So it's getting, like I said, it's getting people's attention.
Okay, that's good though.
It
has some focus on security,
right? Absolutely.
Finally.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask a stupid question, perhaps, because I've picked this up from other places as well. So now we can't store personal identifiable information anymore. We should shun it, and you can't really do it.
Right.
That's not what the rules are about.
No.
You can, of course, do that, as long as you do it right.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. So that's a big difference. So in the beginning, I said two changes here. To strengthen the protection of data, so that's where people usually focus on that, okay, well, strengthening it, I can't keep the data anymore. I should back away and not do anything with it. But that's not it. It's strengthening it in a way that it can flow properly, that you're flowing it and making your life as a data subject easier and still protecting your data. So it's not about, hey, stop doing it.
And also a little bit about where it flows, as long as it flows safely.
Safely, absolutely.
It is not, I mean, hopefully then some of these local laws that apply only to our country will be not that much of a problem anymore.
Exactly.
So like the reason for having all your data within a country's border might with this actually go away a little bit.
That is the aim, is to try to get that flow. And the flow is a big part of it. That there's a saying that the rights flow with the data. So it doesn't matter where your personal data goes, the rights for that flow with it. So if it flows outside the EU, it can flow outside the EU as long as the protection is still there.
Yeah.
So if we use a service from Microsoft, like we are going into the PaaS world now and using a lot of services, So does it mean anything to us, or does it mean anything to the to Microsoft, for example, if we use their services?
It does. So especially if it flows outside of the EU, but also Microsoft is an American company. So again, that the rights have to flow with that data. So anywhere we're flowing personal data, we just have to make sure the rights are there. And obviously Microsoft is making sure, and they already are compliant with this with this regulation. So as long
because they are processors.
They are a processor.
They are also need to comply.
So there's lots of attention on it, but it does, it goes all the way through to any suppliers of Microsoft that are involved. Mm. They have to be GDPR compliant as well.
So if we go a bit into the solution, then like we have been mentioning consent here. Consent is obviously, being consent
correct
from the user is obviously a part of that. And could we then say our unit 4 needs to manage your
personal data period.
And then it involves, and we can send it everywhere.
Then we can do anything we like.
Yeah.
No. So so again, consent has always been there. What's being done in GDPR is really making it easier for you as a data subject to know exactly what part of your personal data is being collected, where it's being stored, and what is being done with it.
Mm-hmm.
That consent has to be presented to you in a clear and concise way.
Mm-hmm.
So it can't be legal mumbo jumbo that people look at and go, wow, you know, three pages.
To like a
huge thing that you say, page down for 3 minutes. No, it has to be really short in local language. If it, you know, it has to be understandable by people. So it can't be something that, you know, well, if you read it a certain way, then it gives us an out to do something. It has to be very clear on the purposes that you're using it for. It also has to be explicit. So it goes as far as saying a checkbox to approve consent can't be pre-ticked.
Okay.
You have to physically go or electronically tick that box.
Mm. So it can't just be like a long list of a lot of text with small text that you don't read. It needs to be like maybe in bold or something that it's really clear and not abstract.
Exactly. Very, very precise, very clear and concise.
Yeah.
Clear, concise, and explicit. So that it's
like a combination of usability and design of that sort of how we present it.
Absolutely.
And of course the legal part of it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Which are two things that are not all
always go. That's correct. Yeah.
So this means that we need to design this kind of consent when we design our application and the use of the data with our application.
And that's another key part in GDPR that's explicitly recognized in there as privacy by design and by default.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying privacy can't be something that's bolted on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you need to think about and design.
Your point here. So we have this about consent. I have to agree that this controller and this processor and everything sort of uses this for the purpose that
the
I understand, and I say okay.
Right.
And then you have a couple of things here that I have right to access that information, or at least ask to get it.
Correct.
As I understand it.
Yeah. So the right to access is.
I will have the right to get to know at least what you have stored. Right.
Mm.
And I have the right to say, take it away, forget me.
Forget you.
Yeah. And then this privacy by design,
correct,
which is a little bit more fluffy, but it's at least something we...
Yeah.
it's easy to do when
we
create new solutions,
correct,
right?
Yeah. So yes, the right to access is all about saying, hey, I know I checked a box sometime a year ago.
Mm.
I don't remember what. I want to ask you, what personal data of mine do you have? And what I'm using it for, and where is it stored?
Mm.
I also have the right to get a copy of that in electronic format for free from the controller. So I can go to the controller of that data and say, hey, you've got my personal data. I'd like a copy of it electronically or for free.
This is a change, right? Because it hasn't been like this
again,
as an example here in Norway, that has been ruled. Right?
Okay.
So I can go to anywhere I know my data stored and ask to see it and get it on a copy. So it's a nice example that you just lift it up as a general.
Right.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's right. The answer in the past has been it depends. Where are you? Where is your data? Where is that company?
Mm.
And different rules apply. Now it's take away that it depends and you say yes.
Yeah.
You're an EU data subject. then yes, these apply.
At least.
Yeah. Right. I'm sorry. You're not. And that's actually another point, is that it's not
just... But Norway is covered by this.
It's not just EU citizens. It's people that are resident or that are located in the EU. So as a visitor to an EU member state, I'm covered
so
by
you
that.
Right now, basically.
Yeah.
On this trip.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not in Norway.
But I went through UK.
Oh yeah. Okay.
But Norway is covered through
the
agreements we have with the UK.
Yeah, like you said, you've got some. You're probably one of the leading countries. There's a number. Like I say, there's a number of countries. This isn't a huge deal for them. It's just harmonizing, taking out those little specifics that they've implemented at the country level. To say, hey, we just need to stick at the GDPR at the EU level.
Mm-hmm.
Data. Migration a lot easier.
Okay, so we have mentioned consent is an extremely important part, it sounds like.
That's a critical part.
It's a critical part.
That's about proving
that,
okay,
I
the story
you,
is
I delegate
that. And I can prove at a later point that, Ryan said that was okay.
Yeah.
And he has proof of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, that's
mm-hmm.
that's kind of the risk.
And then it's the right to be forgotten.
Correct.
It's important. And but you also mentioned storing data or
privacy by design.
What does that mean?
It means
how can we solve it?
To start with, the easiest way, we've always said this about PCI data, credit card data, the easiest way to be compliant is don't store it.
Yeah.
So don't just collect data that you don't need. So data minimization is a part of GDPR. So store only what you need, and you have to get approval for storing that. So that makes your life easier if you're only storing what you need.
So as an example, if all I need is your identity, so you can log on, and that identity is just that singular key, whatever it is enough. Then I can just ask you to consent.
That should be it.
Yeah, I don't need to ask you about where you live, your phone number, your email.
Exactly.
Because it could be handy later.
Right. If you don't use that.
So that's privacy by design, or at least before you really do anything
about it,
you just minimize the personal identity.
Yeah. Just don't store it. So then if you do have a need to store it, then that's when privacy by design by default comes in to say, okay, I'm collecting that data now. How do I design this to be privacy by default so that it is private by default, that is protected by default? And they have a term that's used called pseudonymization. So it's quite a pseudonymization. Effectively,
it's
once is a challenge. Pseudonymization is effectively tokenization. So you're going to take a something like my social insurance number, my social security number, my national insurance number, whatever you call it, and instead of storing that everywhere as a key value, put something in place of it that doesn't identify me.
Mm.
So it's a token, it's a pseudo key to my data.
Yeah.
So that's encouraged in there. It's one thing in GDPR is they don't talk about specific technologies.
Mm.
They want this to be a long-lasting regulation, so they don't want it to have to change in 2 years because technology changes. So you won't go in and see bitlinks for keys and specific technologies talked about. They just talk about the general, you need to protect it by design, by default, and high-level concepts like that.
Mm. So you could do all the three first, think a lot about that, but if you have a breach and the guys got to your data in an easy way, then you have broken GDPR.
Yes. Yeah, if you get to the private, if we had a breach and somebody got the personal data, then yes, we haven't done a good job at the.
Well, not necessarily a breach, or a breach of some kind, or not like a hacker, not necessarily, but just that, I happen to have access to a database in the cloud and could go right in and just grab it because it was. Not
because
tokenized or
it
was kept all
jumbled
together or things like that.
So again, it leads a bit back to us being a SaaS provider then.
Exactly.
Because we now have access to the database connection string and anyone that have access to that
The systems needs at least and somebody has set up these things. So
but it doesn't really matter if we encrypt the data either, if we, as long as we keep the keys.
Yeah, if you have the key to encrypt, I mean, and the encryption
it's defense in depth.
Yeah.
Right, so you want all those good things to, yes, we have to have access to the database,
yep.
Otherwise we can't do our job. So,
exactly.
But it's separation of concerns, defense in depth, so you want all the good protection. So encryption is a good topic. If you've encrypted the data and there happened to be a data breach, a full breach where a hacker has come in and got the data, then you're protected because it's encrypted. So
yeah.
Then you don't, then there's breach notification you have to do in GDPR. You don't have to do that if it's so there's some easier ways out.
Yeah.
And GDPR, by the way, doesn't say you must encrypt.
No,
it doesn't say you have to.
It's like the earlier ones where.
Yeah, and people
like, so encrypt with this and this algorithm.
Yeah.
And with this bit like that minimum.
Exactly.
And so there's nothing about that in
no.
GDPR.
It just says you need to.
Yeah.
You know, state of the art talks about state of the art,
yeah.
And state of the art is going to change. Now, is it a good idea to encrypt? Yes, absolutely, but. Again,
yeah, it's a solution, right?
Yeah.
So just to certain problems.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so we need to look into solutions, I guess, on how we deal with it, both with our existing products and with new products.
Correct.
So I think for new products and the products that we have in the cloud, we have the identity services today. Just want to mention that because
mm-hmm.
the version 1.3.0 that we just released as a consent script.
Available as of last Friday.
Yep.
Has tools for you to design mm-hmm. consent in your application.
Yeah. But it doesn't mean that we solve it.
No, it's
right.
Like use IDS and then you're safe from GDPR
yeah.
on that one.
IDS
no.
has consent, but you need
that's
to design it as well. It's an
that's
important part. And then we need to look into solutions to our existing product on how we can solve these things there. Yeah.
And it's a very good point is that it isn't a product issue. It isn't just a process issue. It's not. It covers the entire gamut. So you need to deal with your product side. You need to deal with process side. So the people that do have access, how are you tracking their access? How do you audit? How do you prove you've got consent? Consent can be a manual form. It doesn't have to be electronic. So there's lots of different ways to implement compliance with GDPR. So it's people need to make sure you don't get the idea, like you said. It's just implement
ideas. That's
a good,
and you're done. Good point about consent that we learned from you this week.
Yeah.
Is that it can take any form, right?
Right.
So obviously, Unifor needs to keep some information about me and my bank account to pay me for my work, right? And obviously, I will consent to that.
Right.
And I did. Through my contract for working here. But it has to say now that we will keep your information for these reasons, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
somewhere.
Yes, you may have implied consent before, now it needs
yeah.
to be explicit.
Exactly. So it's not implicit that everybody wants to get paid kind of consent, but
yes.
We will store your
bank account,
your contact
your address,
information
your,
and
yeah.
your bank account
right.
information. Yeah, that's enough for us.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, good. Anything else that you want to mention around this topic?
I don't think so.
No?
I think we've,
yeah.
as I go through my side, there is a company-wide initiative in Unit 4.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's not just a technology product issue. It's legal, it's services, it's support, it's everywhere. So there's a project underway with that. Has representation from all functional areas. So if there's any questions on that, just go to your functional lead head ofs in the company. We'll know all about that and be able to keep you up to date on that.
Yeah.
Good to know. Okay, I think we can summarize this. So GDPR is the right to remain a user's privacy. Is that correct? And the right to be forgotten. We need to solve this. Everyone needs to be involved, managers, developers, designers. We can provide some guidelines and solutions in the people platform, I think, for this. But everyone
yeah, absolutely.
Needs to
and follow the things ourselves. So
yeah.
The guys are now looking into one that is about to be released. So
yeah.
Make sure that she can forget you. Like that.
Exactly. And privacy by design is key. And yeah, again, it involves all of us. So Thank you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ryan, for listening us.
Goodbye, Vietnam.
Yeah.